Hello, my name is Wayne O'Connor. This is the audio version of Turf Wars 3, Preaching for Fun and Profit, which is from my book, upcoming book actually, Kingdom Lessons 4, Daydreams and Night Visions. The vocabulary is a bit on the scholarly side, so there is a written version at WayneO'Connor.com, and you can go to my Facebook site in order to find that version. And it has explanations and definitions that are found right after those words. But for the audio, I'm just going to use the words that came to mind. So you could either go find that or a dictionary, but it's a good story and it has a good lesson in it. But anyway, this is Turf Wars 3, Preaching for Fun and Profit, the audio version. When I went back to sleep after writing down the dream Spiritual Turf Wars 2, War of the Oranges, I had another dream. That happened on April 14th, 2017, sometime after 2 in the morning, because 2 in the morning is when I had the War of Oranges dream. So maybe this was 2:30, 3 o'clock, somewhere in there. The Lord did not speak to me in this dream. He actually spoke to me in the dream that came before. The dream, Spiritual Turf Wars 3, did have a spiritual lesson. It is a cautionary tale about not hiring hirelings who are either immature Christians or religious showmen who are merely actors engaging in their newest gig on the road to fame and fortune. Spiritual Turf Wars 3, The Dream. Pastor Rocky Rockford Newmarket had never gone to Bible school. He had paid handsomely for 3 months of intense mentoring from a famous televangelist. His sandy blonde hair had faded to mostly white after 50 years of walking the earth. Pastor Newmarket's southern accent and rugged good looks had opened many doors, albeit temporarily, throughout his life. Upon reaching 40 years of age, he had picked up a slight potbelly, but had otherwise remained quite fit and muscular. Still maintaining a lifelong hobby of boxing and weightlifting had also been beneficial. But somewhere in the dream, he mentioned that he wasn't going to the gym every day, but still, for the last 4 or 5 years, had been going maybe 2 or 3 times a week. But he was getting older, his body was kind of shutting down, but he was still in extremely good shape for a 50-year-old man. Rocky always dressed in cowboy clothes. Today was no exception. While Newmarket's elders prepared to take an offering, Rocky sang Old Country Church and twanged the strings of his Johnny Walker Sunburst guitar. His enthralled audience vented courses of oohs and ahs. Many came to hear his golden voice rather than to meet Jesus. The stage set at the front of the church was almost as glitzy and as well apportioned as that of any CMT cable show, that's Country Music TV. Being skilled both as a musician and a trained motivational speaker, Rocky had a natural knack for filling both his pews and offering plates. At 20, Rocky had dreamed of being a game show host or radio announcer. He had flunked out of Brown's Institute. Rockford found it easy to get hired, but because of his personal issues and character weaknesses, always had difficulty keeping the job. He had tried owning and operating hotels and restaurants. That had never worked out either. Rocky had also been a nightclub bouncer several times. Later in life, he decided that he would become a radio and television preacher. Rocky did not benefit from any great spiritual blessing, but because of his natural talents and skills, that vocational track was showing great promise. Rocky finished his song. He placed his guitar in its cradle, then gave his stepson, Orlando, usually called Ori by everyone but Rocky, a nod. Ori was a shy and humble young man of 22. Ori's mother had been a showgirl in Vegas. She had run off with another man not long after her marriage to Rocky, but had left the boy toddler with him. The boy's name was Orlando Mann, but the minister always called him Boy in the dream. Rocky tipped his white Stetson to the audience and waited for the applause to fade away. His eyes gleamed, a wry smile parted his lips as he watched his elders exit into the back room behind the stage to count the offering plates. Rocky had a good feeling about the generosity of today's audience, and his feelings concerning the estimations of the offering were always uncannily accurate. "Boy, I say boy," drawled Rocky as he stepped back from the pulpit. He added, "I know I'm a hard act to follow, but give it your best shot. Yes, siree, boy. Sing that there new chorus y'all wrote." Ori was also dressed as a cowboy, but wore a much more casual blue and white checked shirt and black jeans that were only slightly darker than his skin. While his pigmentation was dark, his features were very fine. Orlando was good-looking to everyone but himself. He didn't consider himself to be unattractive, but did not consider himself to be a prize either. While he was friendly to many girls, Orlando was afraid of commitment. He placed his Bible on an empty velvet cushioned stage chair, wiped his hands on his jeans, and grabbed his song sheet. Ori swallowed nervously, then forced a faltering smile. "Howdy, y'all. Jesus gave me another song a couple of weeks ago. It took another week for the band to make a music track for me. I hope you like it." After a few seconds, Ori became lost in the song, which praised Jesus for his power and sterling character. The tune was very catchy. Ori relaxed, and his nervousness was replaced by excitation and purpose. Rocky frowned briefly. He mumbled, "Gotta watch that boy. I can't let him outshine me." Ori didn't play an instrument, but when he wasn't anxious, he had a kindness and humility that was charming. While he did not possess the superlative voice and flamboyant presentation style of his stepfather, Ori was well-liked. When not burdened by anxiety, he displayed a natural talent for sharing, whether singing or talking with people. The fact that he rarely became angry and seemed to easily avoid most temptations had become an irritant to his stepfather more and more in recent years.
"Well now," boomed Rocky, "everyone give my boy a hand. He did good. Yes, siree. He did his daddy proud. Not the best song I ever heard. Kind of simple and short. But he did good."
Ori's happiness tarnished, he slipped back into his shy, awkward personality and quietly took his stage chair. Rocky walked back to the podium, deftly waved his Bible and said,
"Turn with me now to the Book of Psalms. Go to chapter 91.
Rockford Newmarket had started guest preaching at local churches throughout New York City. He recruited helpers from the various churches to support his new ministry. He had been called a sheep stealer on more than one occasion. Even though Rocky's boorish behavior kept repelling people, his natural talent just kept packing the church. His TV and radio shows grew in leaps and bounds, and money poured into the church coffers. In addition to his preaching salary, Rocky received a percentage of all church revenue. Scene fade. Rocky boomed from the pulpit,
"Praise Jesus, our radio and TV ministry is taking off in grand style. I can't take all the credit myself. We have a great staff and a great band. If y'all's weren't given sacrificially, we couldn't afford to do the work of the kingdom. We just upgraded our movie cameras and sound system last week. I guarantee Jesus has blessed us real good. And we ain't going to let him down. And we ain't going to rest in our past laurels. No siree. With my talent and your support, we can win the world for Christ."
Scene fade. Rocky shocked his congregation. When he appeared on the stage, he was not wearing one of his custom-designed Stetsons or tailored costumes of pearl-buttoned Fandango shirts, Western blazers, slacks, and expensive cowboy boots. Rockford entered the backstage door wearing a simple white robe, which contrasted with his deeply tanned Marlboro Man good looks. He hefted a large wicker basket. Rocky called 12 of his elders up to the stage and parceled out French bread slices slathered with melted Munster cheese and snapped crisp golden fish fillet halves into his elders' smaller wicker baskets. Then, striking a dramatic pose, Pastor Rockford Newmarket sent them into the congregation to pass out the unexpected treats. After Rocky had pretended he was Jesus and broke loaves and fish fillets, he sauntered over to his pulpit and recited red-letter passages about faith, miracles, and gratitude. Pastor Rockford Newmarket gazed out the church window and noticed a brown car parked in his reserved stall in the parking lot. He always parked his new Lincoln at the parsonage, but he liked having the empty parking spot sporting the "Reserved for Pastor Newmarket" sign next to the church entrance. Rocky bellowed, "Who in tarnation owns that rusted brown Chevy Impala? Not many people these days have the excuse of not being able to read. Y'all are parked in front of a lodge sign that states, 'Reserved for Pastor Newmarket.' Either y'all can't read, or y'all thinks that rules that apply to everyone else don't apply for y'all. I won't stand for it. No siree." The owner of the car, a young seminary student from a local Bible college, stood up and identified himself. "I apologize, Pastor Newmarket. I am from the local seminary. I brought disabled people today. We were running late, and that stall is right next to the handicap entrance."
"Well, I tell y'all, what we have here is a do-gooder. Yes, sirree, a genuine, honest-to-goodness do-gooder. And a fresh snow Bible student to boot. I ask you, young man, did they ever teach you about Hebrews 13:17? I'll quote it for you, just in case you are unfamiliar with it. 'Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.'"
Pastor Newmarket did not have many verses memorized, but this one had always been useful to control and intimidate those he deemed troublemakers and power grabbers. Rockford Newmarket continued to rant from the pulpit and called the young man's friends, all of them disabled, several uncomplimentary terms. He warned them not to park in reserve stalls when they visited unless they wanted to be fined and towed away. The Bible student replied, "No problem, sir. We will not be coming back," as he gathered his guests and left the facility. Newmarket angrily shoved his notes into the pulpit drawer and performed an impromptu change of topic. Rockford delivered a verbose yet scripturally scant sermon that was an eloquent treatise on why he had been justified in rebuking the Bible student publicly. Scene fade. In the next service, Newmarket joined his band as they performed "On the Wings of a Snow White Dove" and "Great Speckled Bird." Rockford said following the performance, after he stood in front of the pulpit,
"Today's lesson from God's Word is about treating brothers and sisters with dignity and respect."
Rockford stopped his sermonizing and laughed. He slapped his Bible against the podium and adjusted his white Stetson to a rakish angle and cocked his head to one side. Brother Raymond, dressed in his usual pastel button-down Oxford shirt, black bow tie, and corduroy short pants that were always a darker match to his lighter shirt, entered the sanctuary. Raymond had a contusion on his forehead, 2 bandages on one cheek, and 1 knee wrapped with gauze. He had never been seen without ultra-thin leather pro-cyclist gloves and a reflective safety helmet. Although today would not be an exception to that rule, one would have assumed the cyclist gear had been removed to facilitate bandaging. People joked about whether Raymond had been born with them, or if they came off for sleeping or during his shower routine. Rumor had it that he hadn't owned a car for decades.
"Thank you, Brother Raymond, for joining us," boomed Rockford. "Better late than never, as the old saying goes. Elder Hansen whispered in my ear a bit ago that you all had fallen into that pothole just before the church driveway. Brother Raymond, did y'all fall and go boom? Yes, siree, boys and girls. Brother Raymond, I fell and went boom. Bark pots scattered twixt hell and breakfast, no less."
Rocky chortled and continued,
"Brother Raymond, I wish I could have seen that. Why, if I was looking out my picture window, I'd have looked over at Boy and said, "What do you know, Boy? Dinner and a show!"
Rocky smiled crookedly.
"Yes, sirree, we folks at this fine church are always looking for potential good deeds. When God passes out rewards for good deeds, I don't want our church to be slacking. No, sirree."
He motioned to Elder Hansen.
"Go get that gift for Brother Raymond we talked about before the service."
Pastor Rockford Newmarket continued.
Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles."
Turning again to the congregation, Pastor Newmarket chuckled and dramatically raised his hand above his white Stetson. He exclaimed,
"Brother Raymond, come forth!"
Brother Raymond, a short, stooped, and thin middle-aged man with silver wire-rimmed glasses, stood dwarfed by the muscular cowboy pastor as Elder Hansen brought the gift. For scant seconds, Raymond's lips compressed tightly as his narrow face and pointy chin hardened. He saw the gift that had been brought on the stage. It was neither cash, check, or a bicycle. Raymond grunted and spoke in a raspy, phlegmy, high-pitched voice.
I don't know what to say.
Brother Raymond rubbed his prominent Adam's apple, coughed, then forced a chuckle himself. Laughter rippled through the audience as Elder Hansen handed Brother Raymond a red children's tricycle, complete with pink and blue streamers on the handles, which had been removed from the children's activity room. Raymond bowed to the pastor and Elder Hansen. Lastly, he bowed to the audience. Raymond then walked his new tricycle down the three steps below the stage. Then, waving with one hand, he rode his gift erratically along the pew aisle to the foyer, frantically tooting the trike's horn like a Shriner in his funny car on parade day. Raymond hopped off the toy trike at the foyer exit, stood, bowed once more, and exited through the door with the trike in hand. After closing the church door behind him, Brother Raymond parked the tricycle outside the door, solemnly saluted it, and walked away. The trike's streamers whipped and fluttered behind him in the stiff breeze as he walked home. Brother Raymond did not give up his love for country gospel, but never set foot in Cowboys Gospel Tabernacle again, or listened to its cable or radio show. Only a few members of the large congregation ever noticed his absence. Scene fade. Rocky adjusted his white Stetson, picked up his electric Les Paul Classic Green Ocean Burst guitar, and said,
"I'm dedicating this song, Move, by Audio Adrenaline, to my girlfriend, Sky."
He paused and said,
"Stand up, Sky. Let everyone give you a hand."
Sky was a striking, willowy blonde, barely into her 20s. She was an immodestly dressed modeling student. She wore a candy cane tube top, black leather mini, sparkly green belly gem, and a diaphanous black cape with a peacock feather clasp. A zircon faux diamond and ebony necklace dangled tantalizingly just above the exposed cleavage of her ample and barely contained bosom. Following a sermon on walking in holiness, Rocky winked and concluded his homily with the statement,
"My last and most important bit of advice to y'all is a quote from my daddy. Do as I say, and not as I do."
Scene fade. Newmarket's stepson, Orlando Mann, sang a Christian song that he had written. As usual, Ori was nervous when he introduced himself, but did a great job on the song. Rocky said,
"Boy, you did all white!"
He laughed and added, "My boy's mama's great-grandparents must have sung like that when they were picking cotton for their master."
Ori became shy and nervous once more following his stepfather's racially inappropriate remark. Rocky thumped his Bible and said,
"Today's sermon is about gossip."
Midway into his presentation, Rocky dramatically pointed into the television camera and asked,
"Did y'all ever hear tell the joke about the town pastor support group meeting? The group decided to pray for each other's besetting sins. One pastor said, 'Please pray for me. I have a problem with lying.' Another pastor said, 'Pray for me. I have a problem with yelling at my wife.' Another pastor said, 'I have a problem with padding my expense account.' Three pastors said they suffered from a porn addiction.
the last pastor excitedly proclaimed, "My problem is gossip, and I can't wait for this here meeting to be over, so I can go out and share the news."
Pastor Rockford Newmarket ended by gleefully sharing several embarrassing stories about numerous parishioners. Rocky was careful not to name names, but left a trail of clues that could have been followed by a blind man. He explained that what he was sharing was not gossip, merely examples of gossip to illustrate his lesson. Scene fade. Following a short but impactful sermon on tithing, Rockford and his band played several popular Christian songs. Rocky called his girlfriend Sky to the stage and handed her a microphone. She was wearing a sequined scarlet Fredericks of Hollywood gown. They sang the duet Friends, as famously performed on YouTube by Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant, but with a distinctly countrified style. After the service, Pastor Rocky Newmarket stood in the foyer for the traditional handshakes ritual. He always enjoyed bantering with the congregation as they left the church. Most of them were wont to meet at one of the several local buffets, or else they would hurry home after picking up multiple JoJo's Chicken to Go buckets and spend the afternoon sprawled across couches and easy chairs before their surround sound big screen TV, watching the Giants versus Cowboys game. Flower bouquets of red roses, orange lilies, and snowy baby's breath floral arrangements in fancy pearled vases, neatly ensconced in arched wall niches, filled the foyer with bright colors and pleasantly floral scents. A portly young man with black, tightly curled hair snapped a photo of Newmarket shaking hands with a wealthy-looking elderly couple. The journalism student was also covertly wired for video and audio. One of the elders whispered in Rocky's ear to be careful with his remarks because a journalism student from a local college was present. Until the cowboy pastor was further informed that the journalist was suspected to be in the process of writing a less than complimentary paper on him and his church, he had merely struck a dramatic pose. Like a light switched off in a dark room, Pastor Rockford Newmarket changed from charming saint to bellowing devil in the blink of an eye. Rocky began yelling at the young man as people milled like confused lemmings in the church vestibule. Red-faced and almost incoherent, Rocky yelled, "Get the hell out of my church, you paparazzi pig! If you bleepin' write that bleepin' story about me, God will bleep you up bad. And when he's bleep-bleep done, then it's my bleep-bleepin' turn." He ended his tirade by bending his knees and putting up his fist in a traditional boxer stance and exclaimed, "And make no mistake, fat boy, I can bleep you up real good, real bleepin' good." Of course, he didn't use bleep and bleepin' in his discourse. The elders escorted the journalist student out the door. Then the elders ran back and attempted to quiet Newmarket down. Three more elders joined the others and forcibly walked him into the office and closed the door. Outside, the journalism student talked with a few shocked churchgoers who had left with him. He patted his suit coat pocket, grinned, and said, "I recorded that. Audio and video. This will not only get me an A on my master's presentation, but it will be in all of the local papers. The editors will, of course, bleep out the expletives." End of dream. The names of people and objects, such as clothing and guitars, were all made up. Otherwise, the dream was as written. Occasionally, as has happened with other dreams, I would later have memory flashes during editing of scenes like Brother Raymond solemnly saluting the tricycle before walking away from Cowboy's Tabernacle of Praise, never to return. Rockford seemed like a unique name readily associated with the nickname Rocky. I also had Rockford nicknamed Rocky because he had been a boxer for many years. His clothes may not have been the same as described, but from what I remember, his clothes and four or five guitars looked very flashy and expensive. I do remember one of the suits was all white with a white string tie. Rockford reminded me of a slim version of the character Boss Hogg while wearing that costume. I also remember that Rockford wore an emerald western cut sports jacket with brown elbow and shoulder pads that matched the green Les Paul guitar. Some of the jackets and shirts had white cowboy hats or black longhorn cattle silhouettes on either side of his chest. Mostly he wore jeweled string ties. Rockford also wore an ascot tie of shimmery dark blue or green during one scene. Another time he wore a standard black tie. Skye's clothes were just very revealing. Other than that, I don't remember what she wore except that she wore a simple dark cotton tube top and a miniskirt and hooker boots. Later in the dream, she wore a gauzy feathered showgirl gown. It was either emerald or red. There was a country western band of mixed gender. They backed up Rockford or played background music for Ori and other singers from a bandbox on the stage. I don't remember much about them. I do distinctly remember they had a name, and it was used several times in the dream, and I cannot remember the name of the band. It was something like Cowboy and His Vaqueros or Buckaroos or something. But anyway, whatever it was, I can't remember it, and I don't think those were the names, but the name was mentioned several times, and I cannot remember it. Some of the weird turns of phrase like fresh snow Bible student were in the dream. I didn't make them up. I don't remember any of the actual songs that were in the dream. All I remember was that Rocky was a very good singer and guitarist. While Pastor Rockford Newmarket did not have a relationship with Jesus, his stepson seemed to be a quickly growing young Christian who was very humble and sincere. Orlando suffered because of his stepfather's constant belittling and his mother's abandonment, but seemed to show great potential for one day becoming a mature Christian and receiving emotional healing. I have the feeling that Rockford and Elder Hansen, who had also been Rocky's former musical agent and advisor, were asked to leave the church following the last incident with the journalist. It also seems that Ori was allowed to stay, assist the band, and a few years later became the pastor. The dream portrays how a pastor should not act. It also shows how, if a pastor is spiritually weak, but naturally talented in speaking or playing instruments, and can bring in a good offering, the board tends to overlook behaviors that would normally bring correction or termination to any non-celebrity pastor. Keep in mind that the devil can bring blessing for his season if it suits his nefarious purposes. Such black blessings may be considered to be from Jesus when they are not. Rockford's fame and fortune while at the helm of Cowboys Gospel Tabernacle is illustrative of this principle. Also keep in mind that the devils are always looking for an opportunity to take the bad examples in our midst, especially those of leaders, and paste their diabolical behavior onto the billboards and tabloids of the world. When even a few Christians portray immoral behavior, Christian haters love to smear every follower of Christ as hypocritical and immoral people, painting them in horrific, gaudy colors. To the best of my knowledge, I do not know of any celebrity pastor whose life story resembles that of the one in my dream. But because of the detail, I wonder if the dream is a work of fiction based on the life of a real person. He did not look or sound like the country western singer from my dream Honky Tonk Prodigal in Kingdom Lessons 3. And they sounded different. The honky-tonk prodigal cowboy had a definite Wisconsin or Minnesotan accent in his voice. Rocky, I apologize that I'm not really that good at imitating a southern gentleman, but Rocky's voice was definitely southern, so he was different than the honky-tonk prodigal cowboy. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope that you have a good evening or a good day, whatever the case may be. Please visit me at wayneoconnor.com or on Facebook.